Welcome to Walking in the Word, the weekly teaching series by pastor, teacher, evangelist Eric W. Stansberry, located in Las Vegas, Nevada. This podcast is brought to you every week with the hope of blessing you to find to strengthen your walk with Christ. And now, your teacher, Pastor Stansberry. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Restoration. This is your host, Dr. Eric Stansberry. Glad that you're with us today and cannot wait to get into the Word of God. Today begins part one of the faith of Moses. It's in Hebrews chapter 11. So let somebody know that restoration is now on. Hello, friends. This is Dr. Stansberry. Last week, the first week in June, I preached a revival, six services at City View Church of God with Pastor David Mathis. And we've recorded all of those. I want to make them available to you on either a USB drive or a digital download. All you have to do is email me at pastorstansberry@gmail.com and say you want the City View package. What you'll get are all six services in MP4 video format. You'll also get the same services in MP3 audio only, so if you want to listen to them in your car or wherever. And you'll also get all of the study notes that accompanied each sermon. There's no cost to you. Just simply email me at pastorstansberry@gmail.com and say either you want the digital download or you want the USB key, and then I'll need, of course, your snail mail address for that. So I look forward to hearing from you. Also, you can always give any prayer requests. You can give any praise reports. We've had several of those. Some of the revival, one man got a job, and he'd been looking. We've seen healings, people filled with the Holy Spirit. We had people saved. So please, get a hold of these. These teachings are vital about the life of faith, and I believe that they'll bless you. Until next week, this is Dr. Stansberry. So have a great day. If you have your Bibles with you today, let's go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Begin reading with verses 23 through 28 as we look at the life and the faith of Moses and how it applies to you and I. Sometimes we read these stories and we think, well, that was great for him or her. But what I want to do in this two-part series is break down what Moses did and how we as believers apply that to our life. Everything that was written for our instruction. So let's dive right in. We're going to read the whole text, and then we'll go back and break it down. Starting with verse number 23. By faith, Moses, after his birth, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful and divinely favored child. And they were not afraid of the king, of the king's or Pharaoh's decree. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, because he preferred to endure the hardship of the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of the Christ, that is, the rebuke he would suffer for his faithful obedience to God, to be greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt, for he looked ahead to the reward promised by God. By faith, he left Egypt, being unafraid of the wrath of the king, for he endured steadfastly as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he, again Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood on the doorpost, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch them, the firstborn of Israel. So we all know the story. We look at the story of Moses, and many people go, hey, look, he grew up to be Charlton Heston. That may be a little young for some of you that are watching, but those of you that are in my age bracket anywhere, remember every year, the Ten Commandments being the great thing that we saw on TV, the Cecil B. DeMille epic. But the life of Moses has practical lessons, practical application for you and I, especially in the world that we live in today, in a world that is so just racked by sin and so racked by the things going on, that we need to look at heroes of the faith and see what we could learn. So first of all, notice that Moses began his life in faith. We forget as parents that the first introduction to the life of faith, the life of a Christian, the life of a believer, is not at church, it's not at school, it's in our homes. It's at your knee, mom and dad. It's what you bring into the house. It's what you say at the dinner table. It's what you the entertainment that you choose. What do they see in your life? So let's go begin here. So if you have a Bible, and you can, go over to Exodus chapter 1 and start with verse 16. Just to kind of give you the background, the more that Pharaoh oppressed the people of God, the people of Israel, the more they flourished. We see this in church history. The more that the church is truly persecuted, the more the church begins to grow and flourish. Because in that, it kind of weeds out all of those who are not of the faith, that just go to church as a social experiment. In the same way, the people of God who were Israelites, who were now of birth, they said, we are God's chosen people, and we're not going to waver on this. So notice what happens. Begin reading with verse number 16. When you act as midwives, now here's Pharaoh talking to the midwives, to the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stool. If it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God with profound reverence and did not do as the king commanded. But they let the baby boys live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and allowed the boy babies to live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth quickly, and their babies are born before the midwife can get to them. So God was good to the midwives, and to the people of Israel multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God with profound reverence, he established families and households for them. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born to the Hebrews, he must be thrown into the Nile, but every daughter you shall keep alive. So he gives a decree. The first decree is we're going to kill the children at birth. The second decree, bearing that since that didn't work out, when babies are born, if they're male, we're throwing them into the Nile for the gators, the crocodiles to eat. Or if it's a baby girl, we're going to keep it. As Moses began his life, his very life began as a statement of faith. Because notice what happened. It said that when Moses was born, his parents saw him and didn't kill him. Didn't turn him over. They hid him until as long as they could. We're going to go into that in just a moment. As parents, as believing parents, it is our responsibility to teach our children that sometimes when a law is against the Bible, when a rule is against clearly taught and established scriptures, we are under the obligation not to obey that law, but to pray for those in power that they'll see the error of their ways, but to understand that we obey, we are part of another kingdom. We are aliens. We are strangers here. And because of that, because we are aliens, because we are strangers, we're not completely part of the system. So we view things differently. And that means that sometimes we have to take the unpopular stand because of who our Father is, because we belong to Christ. Moses' parents did this on the front end. They saw an unjust law. It was a decree of death, and they chose not to abide by it. They hid Moses from the Egyptians. They will eventually place him in a basket in the river. His sister will walk down the river with it. Pharaoh's daughter finds Moses, says, oh, I found a baby, but he's of the Hebrews. His sister goes, hey, I know a lady who can midwife the baby for you. So Moses' actual mother got to keep her baby, although the baby was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. As a side note, many historians believe that Pharaoh's daughter, after the Exodus, became completely cut out of all Egyptian records because they saw her as betraying their Egyptian family and then allowing the Hebrews to escape, and now they didn't have their labor force. That's for the historians and archaeologists to debate. The point being that she adopted Moses, and he is now raised in the Pharaoh's house because the people, God, his family, his mom and dad, saw the potential that Moses had. And that brings me to my first big point. Parents, when you have children, you should never view them as a tax write-off. You should never view them as something that kind of bothers your schedule or interrupts your living, but as what the child truly is, a gift from God. Notice in Genesis chapter 1 and 28, we are told this, and God blessed them, granted them certain authority, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. Right now, they said that the population in a lot of countries is declining because people choose not to have children. And again, your choice. But children, when you have them, are not to be seen as anything except a gift from God, that God has blessed you with a child. That's why we are told in Psalms 127 and verse 3, behold, children are a heritage of the Lord and a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Now, I know that we have, in this country particularly, a lot of illegitimate children, children who have parents that are missing for various and sundry reasons. And the parents sometimes see the child as an inconvenience. That's why we have abortion on demand and abortion is birth control. Because I don't have time, I want to do my career, I want to do A, B, C, and D. This child is now inconvenient. There are ways before you get pregnant to deal with that, not once you're pregnant. But once the child is in the world, he's a gift. He or she deserves the right to become what God has destined them to be. And the only way they can do that, the only way they can truly walk in that, is when we treat them as gifts. That's why we are told in Proverbs 22 and verse 6 that we are to train up a child in the way he would go, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is, we are teaching our children, God has brought you here for a reason. You're a special human being in God's plan. And we train them in how to be who God has called them to be. Now, we may not know exactly what his destiny is for them, and it may take them some years to figure that out. But you will see giftings and talents in their life. You will see things in them that let you know they have a special gift. And as a parent, it is your responsibility to help them hone those gifts and learn those talents and always keep their life humble before God as a vessel of God. The reason that many children can operate in spiritual gifts much easier than the parent or the adult is they're just willing to trust by faith that God has the answer, that God has something for them. And in the same way as you and I have our children, we should have that same faith. Jesus said not to forbid children to come to me, but bring them, because such is the kingdom of heaven. That means that to be in the kingdom of heaven, you must have that childlike faith that my heavenly parent knows my gifts and my talents, and he's going to help me to become all that I can be. And as an earthly parent, we co-partner with him in that. We work with our children. Moses' parents saw that he had something special. Now, I know that every parent, when they look at their child, said he's beautiful, he or she is beautiful, and they have something special. And that's good. You want your children to have good self-esteem and to know that they have a plan from God. The second thing I want you to notice about Moses' life is he refused to allow his circumstances to define who he was. You see, so often what we do, we allow the way we were born, where we were born, to whom we were born, our families, our past, to define who we are. When what we should be doing is leaving our feelings aside and allowing Scripture and the Holy Spirit to define who we are. Notice what we know about Moses. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was adopted and he had brothers and sisters that were inside the palace. He was raised fully as an Egyptian. He was educated in everything that the Egyptians knew, from their art, their language, their customs, their religion. But keep in mind that he was also wet nursed or kind of nannied by his own birth mother, who was Jewish, meaning that he was also taught about Yahweh. He was also taught the Abrahamic covenant. He was taught about Isaac and all of those. He was taught who God is. He was taught about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was told probably the story of Joseph. All of those things came together in that he'd made a decision. He had to make a decision. Do I live as an Egyptian and embrace that world? Do I live as a Jew and embrace that world? Now, you know the story. He does kill an Egyptian for hurting a Jewish individual. Then the Jews come to him and say, you're going to kill us as well. And he's when he ran off to the backside of the wilderness for God to train him, to bring him to a place of usefulness. But we either embrace in our lives being members of the kingdom of darkness are members of the kingdom of light. We embrace either being a member of God's kingdom or of Satan's kingdom. We have to pick. You can't serve two masters. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him a Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings new life. So if you're in Christ, my friend, if you've been saved, if you've repented of your sin and you've called on Him as Lord, you're a new creation. That means through that explosive power, Paul will say in the first chapter of Romans that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power, the dunamis, the explosive power of God unto salvation. What does that mean? That means through His power, through His might, through His anointing, when you call upon Him as Lord and you become saved, you become a child of the King, explosively you are torn out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His glorious light, which now means you're a new creation. You can physically say, I'm no longer related to my family, I'm no longer related to that gene pool, because I'm new. In Ezekiel 36 and verse 26, God is speaking to His people as, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone, or your sinful heart, from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. In other words, He changes you from the inside out. When you begin to follow Christ, you have to make the decision, is what the world offers what I want, or is what Jesus offers is what I want? The reason that our church is so fragmented right now, we've allowed feelings and the flesh to be involved more than the leading of the Holy Spirit in saying the one thing that I do, and that is to be, I am for the high calling of Jesus Christ, to the I am tied into that. John, Jesus is teaching to Nicodemus, and this is important for you and I to learn, that walking in the flesh and our feelings will never really truly feel saved, will never really truly feel like a child of God, because feelings are fickle, feelings will kind of do their own thing. So John, in John chapter 3 and verse number 6, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and He says these words, that which is born of flesh, okay, that which is born, I was born from two parents, and the ex, all that stuff that went on, and I was born. I am flesh. He says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. The physical is merely physical. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. So that which is born of the flesh, so in my flesh, I serve my flesh. But my spirit man was instantly changed, and God has began a work in me that I am saved. I'm saved from my sin. I'm being saved as I'm being perfected and changed from the inside out, and I will be saved, meaning that when I get my new body, and my everything will match. My body, mind, soul, and spirit will all be new and perfect. Right now, there's a battle that goes on inside of me as the flesh battles with the spirit. If you've been saved more than 5 minutes, your flesh is going to fight your spirit. And the only way to deal with that is to walk in the spirit. That means you feed on God's word. You get more faith by hearing God's word and applying it. You begin to walk in the things that He's called you to walk in. The only way that happens is when you feed the spirit and not feed your flesh. Paul writes these words in Galatians 3 and verse 3. He goes, are you so foolish and senseless, having begun your new life by faith with the spirit? Are you now being perfected and reaching maturity, spiritual maturity, by the flesh? That is, by your own works and efforts to keep the law. What Paul is saying there is simple. To make sure that we grow in our faith, that we grow as believers, we have to realize it's not about our righteousness. The moment you were saved, God made you righteous so you can go before the throne of God. In that moment, your relationship changed. Now, the flesh is still here. Your soul is still attached to this, but your spirit person wants to worship God. John chapter 4, Jesus told the woman at the well that, you know, God wants all of us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The only way we can do that is by feeding the spirit man and letting Him have that reign and rule in our body by the Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own. It is impossible. So one of the things that Moses dealt with is he was a Jew living in an Egyptian world. We are Christians living in a fallen world. This world, literally, as the song says, is not my home. And we should not get adjusted to this world. You have to feed the spirit man. Chad Gonzalez will say that Jesus was naturally supernatural. Why? Because his spirit was in constant contact with the Father. Because he would say, the things you've seen me, hear me say, I've heard my Father say, the things you see me do, you've heard my Father, I've seen my Father do. In the same way, that's exactly where we should be. Is that, Father God, I'm walking in that relationship with you, that the things that you say, that's what I repeat. The way you look at people, that's how I look at people. So, my friend, we're running really close on time. We're going to pick up with more about Moses next week, but I want to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never met Him in the free pardon of sin, today can be your day. You simply have to say, Jesus, I proclaim you Lord in my life. Father God, I accept what Jesus Christ did and that you raised Him from the dead to set me free, to redeem me from the curse. And I accept His Lordship, I repent of my sins, and I turn my heart, mind, soul, and body to you. Come into my life and make me a new creature. And if you will pray that by faith, He'll come into your life. He'll change you. Some of you may need healing for your body. The same way that you got saved, that same faith works the same way to get you healed, because we are told that by His stripes we were healed. And sometimes we forget that if we are in Christ, then He is in us, and because of that, He can make His kingdom come and will be done in our lives and bring healing and bring change. But you have to walk by the Spirit, listening to His Word, so that He can do that for you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your love and mercy today, your grace. Thank you for letting them hear the word today. Let it go forth. You said that your word never goes forth unless it accomplishes exactly what you intend for it to accomplish. And we will give you the praise and the glory and the honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll see you in just a few minutes. Hello, friends. This is Dr. Eric Stansbury. Many of you have been asking how you can help with our ministry, or perhaps you're looking for asking how you can help us. If you'll scan the QR code, it will take you to our Amazon Wish page. There are things that we need to buy or we want to buy to make sure we can upgrade this particular broadcast to make it more of a blessing to you. So scan that, purchase what you want from that list, and we'll be ever grateful. If you need a receipt, we'll be happy to send you one. So again, this is your friend, Dr. Eric Stansbury, saying thank you for your help. Thank you for your prayers, because I've been overwhelmed by what you've been doing to help us. Thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Walking in the Word with Pastor, Teacher, Evangelist Eric W. Stansbury. Feel free to email Pastor Stansbury at pastorstansbury@gmail.com. We thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Walking in the Word.